Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
855-839-1210. It's how you join the program. You can get us on social media, 1210 WPHT, and, of course, the YouTube chat, where it was so nice to meet so many of you yesterday.
It was.
For the first time, the second time, or the 12th time.
Yeah, I met Jesus. I met Big Stinky Cheese. Big Stinky Cheese came up to me. Road Warrior was there. Kevin was there. I mean, it was great to see everybody there. Yeah. Gary Stam was there.
Yeah, you called the people out. You
I
said,
did.
Don't fail us.
I told the YouTube chat that they better represent, and they represented.
Yeah. They definitely did.
Yeah. It's like a big reunion. Hey, Zeus reminded me he used to go to some of the Parks events.
Oh, okay.
So we all met him.
Yeah. I feel bad because people are like, hey, and it was like, we've met before. And
well, it was kind of a crazy day.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know.
But I was like, Jesus, that's before you were like the famous Jesus. Do you know what I mean?
Terrible with names.
Before he was movie clip Jesus.
I know. Yes.
855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, cut sheet 745 this morning. Kamala Harris, a.k.a. Esty, coming up at 9:30 today. And you're not going to want to miss the cut sheet. There is so many... I would say not only variety, but just strong statements and ridiculous clips that we have to play for you today. So don't go anywhere, because that thing could run for probably close to an hour.
Yeah, there's no way we're going to get it all in. So whatever we don't cover, Don will cover, Dom will cover, Rich will cover. So
there you go.
We'll get it all in all day.
Not
all right.
Yep.
Let's get to the news, and then we'll get to Elon Musk and the media. But first, right off the top here, round number two at 7:03, the great Dawn Stensland.
Good morning, Kale and Company News Live, sponsored by Meineke on this bone-chilling morning. So cold that, in fact, the city of Philadelphia, many of the suburban areas across the region declaring these code blue alerts, calling this dangerously cold, saying it's the coldest day in nearly 2 years. Schools delayed. Philadelphia Public Schools and the Archdiocese schools, many of our local schools running on a two-hour delay, so you want to make sure and check with that one. But wind chills are also below zero for the next several nights. And even this morning as we get up, it's, I think, the high today is just 19 degrees. We're at about 11 right now. The Senate, I should have said this earlier on 6 a.m. news, but the Senate did confirm Marco Rubio as Secretary of State, making him the first of President Trump's cabinet nominees.
99-0, right?
Yes.
99-0, I think, was the vote.
99-0 vote. His former colleagues in the Senate touted his qualifications for the job.
You know, anytime somebody like Rubio gets in unanimously, it makes me even more suspect and suspicious.
I agree with
right?
you.
Right?
I agree with you.
Like, you know, Hegseth is, now granted, Hegseth has baggage. You know, Gates was a walking disaster. You know, Bobby's going to face pushback. Tulsi's going to face pushback. Well, Marco Rubio, 99 for 99.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, guy.
Why? Because of his ears?
Nah, just weaselly.
Yeah. I agree with you. Whenever both sides agree on something, you have to be a little suspect.
Right.
That is hysterical.
Which is amazing, because I want unity, but not this much unity.
There needs to be a little pushback.
Yeah. Feels uniparty-esque, but what are you going to do? You can't get everything you want in this life.
But I'm telling you, it's because they worked in the Senate with him for so many years. They all know him.
Sure. He's a swamper now.
So, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
So that's interesting to me.
Yep.
We're talking this morning about Donald J. Trump news. There's a lot of it. And then the local fallout from all of those executives, nearly 100, as he has started his second administration with a bare cabinet, if you will. I mean, Rubio was, in fact, appointed yesterday. So we're following that, although others are expected to be, voted in today. So we're watching that vote very carefully. And then as well, looking at all of his executive orders. These are sweeping orders. So we're talking about all of it, of course. And then as far as the Liberty Ball, all of the dances last night. So the procedure was that he gave his speech, obviously the swearing in ceremonies. Then he goes to the inside rally with 20,000 people, signs some of these, then goes to the Resolute desk, if you will, to the Oval Office. He signs more of these executive orders, and then they go on to the balls and the evening.
He did at one of the balls last night, he did the Trump dance with a sword.
To the YMCA.
Did you guys see this?
I did.
This is cut 26, yes. Phil, if you can pull this up, since we're kind of just free-balling here.
Look at this.
Just swinging that sword around.
And that's a real one, folks. Look at that. In a bow tie, in a tux, with a sword to the village people. And his knees at 78 are probably better than mine at 41. Look at that. He's swinging it. You know, I said earlier with the executive actions, the pen is mightier than the sword. I take that back. No, the sword will still beat the pen.
You know, J.D. Vance was like backing up a little bit.
Everybody was. But, they were like, oh, boy.
Okay.
I love how still those two officers are standing. Like, yes. Just like, yeah. Amazing.
Yep. Yeah.
And Melania, though, is laughing.
She is.
She's. That's, you know, what cracked me up.
You know she's seen that before.
Yeah. Yes. Something tells me.
When they're in their bedroom.
Yeah.
Darling, you just swing your sword.
See, you can swing. There's been some sword play. I can almost guarantee it.
Oh, my goodness.
Does the sword play come after foreplay or before?
I'm not sure.
I gotta, you know.
Woo.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Woo. So the president and all these different, you know, these separate sets of executive orders declaring the government would recognize only two sexes, male and female, rolling back what, you know, these DEI diversity and inclusion programs across all federal agencies. Department of Defense, by the way, in 2019 estimates up to 8,000 transgender individuals served in the military. And that's just before the media is reporting that this is a Trump ban.
A
Trump ban. So that's an important question. Is he banning, or is he simply saying we're not going to partake in these DEI programs? There's a difference there.
You know, I will be the first one to bring up the culture wars in the Trump era. And I don't think he will do this, but I would suggest and advise. And look, there's so many other things that he has to do. Certainly more important things. And it's in no way like DeSantis being known as Mr. Culture Wars in Florida. Just remember, in 2021, you were able to win and run on culture wars and win. In 2022, it hurt Republicans. I'm not saying it will hurt Trump, because Trump's different than governors and senators and people running for Congress. We know that there's a different turnout. There's a different platform, the whole bit. But I would not throw too many eggs into the culture wars basket. Do what you got to do to protect women. Do what you got to do to end DEI. And then let's get to the issues like the economy, the border, and wars like that. Don't overplay the culture wars hand. And I say that as a guy very much interested in culture wars and talking about it. And I don't think Trump has ever made it a major part of his platform. But I would just, you know, do what you got to do and then move on to the bigger fish to fry.
So there was another one, and I'm just throwing out some headlines because we have so much to talk about today. But in this one, it was Trump administration quickly reinstating Cuba to a list by the United States government as state sponsors of terrorism. That's one of those Biden reversals that we've talked about. That's one of them. And so that was an important piece of legislation that, you know, there are many articles written about it, but I just wanted to headline it for you. The Senate, we talked about Marco Rubio, but the Senate working to move quickly to formally install Trump's cabinet. And so hours after the inauguration, Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee meeting to advance those nominations, for example, of Russell Vought, as well as Governor Kristi Noem, to lead the Office of Management and Budget, Department of Homeland Security. So we have they're trying to move through these, you know, cabinet members and get them in place so he doesn't have, you know, as I said earlier, an empty cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
We have that one going on. The Lake and Riley Act, which we've talked a lot about, that one has indeed cleared the Senate. So we've talked a lot about the Lake and Riley Act, who locally voted for it, voted against it. But as we think about the Lake and Riley Act, an important act passing the Senate on a bipartisan vote, so they've done the right thing. 12 Democrats have been joining all the all Republicans voted for it, but they needed the Dems.
Yep.
Same with the House. So the measure would mandate the detention of more undocumented immigrants charged with crimes now goes to the House, which passed a similar but not identical bill earlier this month. We talked a lot about that.
Mm-hmm.
But the final Senate vote here, 64, that's all those who voted for it, 35 all Democrats voting against it.
I believe Fetterman was in the group that voted for it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, because remember, he was working with, what's her name? Oh, my gosh, Katie Britt
yeah, from with Alabama. Her.
So yeah, Fetterman, absolutely.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Fetterman's attire yesterday? What do we think about that? What do we think about that? Cut 11, Phil, if you have it for the people watching on YouTube. Nick, you can describe the senator's attire. Roll it, buddy. There he goes.
Standard operating procedure.
Carhartt, hoodie, and shorts.
Business as usual.
It was 20 degrees yesterday.
Yeah.
In shorts.
And it was a presidential inauguration day.
Yeah.
And Fetterman stays on brand.
Thoughts?
Well, as a man who wears hooded sweatshirts a lot, you know, can't knock it. But you know what? You could clean it up a little bit, dude. It is inauguration day. Like yesterday, for inauguration day, did I wear a hoodie out on remote? No. No, I wore a button-up shirt with a quarter zip over top of it. I was, as my daughters would say, I was looking a little preppy, right? a little preppy. So, Fetterman, come on, man. You got to go. And by the way, he looks like a Sasquatch that just emerged from the woods from a Jack Link's beef jerky commercial, showing up for gym class. Like he's going to do the V-sit in the shuttle run. Remember the physical fitness test we would take in gym class?
Yep.
Except I don't think he can do any of that because he's, you know, 6'8", 320.
You know what? I'm so used to it.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of like his thing now.
It's like
it's a little weird.
It's a little monk. He looks like a monk to me.
I'm so
monkish.
I am not the guy to talk about dressing up. I hate dressing.
So do I.
Absolutely hate it. It's one of the reasons I got into radio.
Yep.
But there is a time and a place for stuff.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So
you know when we have something with a client.
Yeah,
I try to dress up more.
Agreed.
You know,
agreed. I mean, Dawn and Rich and I went to the White House, and we all dressed up because you know that's what it required.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like I hated wearing a suit; it was terrible. You know what I mean? You're trying to work there, and you're all uncomfortable, but that's what you do. You know what I mean for the office.
Here's the flip side of it, and yeah. I think this is not if you're arguing on behalf of him, but if you're looking at it objectively, the Democrats have become the party of the coastal elite one percenters, right? Very snooty.
Well, Nick Cale, who was behind Trump yesterday? I mean, there was a lot of billionaires behind Trump, so
we can
stop with the Democrats are the party of the elite when big tech was all behind Trump yesterday.
One thing for CEOs to be that way. Another thing when you as a party pander to the elites that are not the CEOs of these companies.
A lot of those tech CEOs, in my opinion, should be in jail. Not at the inauguration.
Yeah, they're all scumbags. I don't trust any of them. I would keep them all at arm's length if I was Trump. But I think this works for Fetterman with the image of the Democrats catering to the elites. He shows off the optics of, quote, being the everyday man, right? Like, he's the opposite of Shapiro. Shapiro always looks a 10 out of 10. I say this as a straight man. Shapiro's always a 10 out of 10 in style and presentation. Fetterman's the complete opposite. You want to win back the middle class? Might start with a Carhartt hoodie.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying.
As one of the final acts in office, President Joe Biden pardoned several family members. And so this was literally minutes before Donald J. Trump took his oath of office. So it was right before the story. I don't think we knew about this. The story broke maybe at around 1 o'clock in the afternoon yesterday, but we didn't really realize it. And then they had Trump's reaction because he didn't find out until around 1, 2, 3-ish in the afternoon. So they were saying that they were intended to prevent, quote, baseless and politically motivated investigations against his family. Biden already issued the sweeping pardons we've talked a lot about in December. For example, his son Hunter, who was facing sentencing in those two criminal cases.
Yep.
But the pardons for his other family members signed Sunday were similar in the fact they were sweeping, covered all of their, quote, nonviolent actions dating back to 2014. But in this one, notably, his brother, James Biden, Francis Biden, as well as Valerie Biden Owens,
yep.
his brother-in-law, John Owens, sister-in-law, Sarah Jones Biden. And this is one of the most extraordinary. This is being reported by all of the media as extraordinary.
Phil has the message that Joe published. How about this for a sentence? I believe in the rule of law, and I am optimistic that the strength of our legal institutions will ultimately prevail over politics. That's coming from a guy that just watched his political rival in four different court cases in our legal system. That is not partisan to politics. That's pretty rich.
Trump Trump commented on that yesterday. This is cut nine, Phil, if you have it, on Trump on Biden's last-minute pardons. This is what he said.
Mr. President, do you have any reaction to the pardons President Biden did at the last minute?
Well, I'm not going to discuss it now. I think it was unfortunate that he did that. We won't discuss it now. There's plenty of time to discuss it.
Thank you, Trevor. Thank you very much, guys.
We go to lunch.
So Trump hands the Sharpie back to the Sharpie guy to address it with basically a non-answer. And then there's MAGA Mike. You see him just nodding along. He is so happy to be next to Trump on his left shoulder.
But last night when he was at the Resolute desk during that, and it was kind of bizarre because he's signing really important, pardons or executive orders, et cetera, not pardons, executive orders.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's the one where Peter Ducey was in there. There were just a few people in the media, and they're asking him questions. But they did ask him about that in that session.
Oh, did they?
And he said something to the effect of, I could have signed, I guess, for my family, but I wouldn't do that because it's basically an admission that they're guilty.
Uh-huh.
So he said more. It was, I'm telling you, I will go back and look at it again. I watched it live. I have never in my life seen anything like that, where you have an incoming president, he's signing these things, the reporters are asking him, they get comfortable, because this goes on for like an hour, and it wasn't supposed to, and they're riffing, and even at one point, Peter Ducey's like, hey, you've been spending a lot of time with ex-presidents, Mr. President, if you had to take advice from any of those ex-presidents, which one would you choose?
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of an interesting question. He answered that it would be Bill Clinton because Bill Clinton was a good politician. He was savvy and recited back to the time that Clinton, remember Clinton back in the day, and he was saying that you shouldn't ignore Wisconsin and Michigan, etc. But there were some really golden nuggets. If I were still an adjunct professor, I would totally play that in class and say, what would you have asked? Were there inappropriate moments? Should they have just been sticking to, well, Mr. President, why would you sign, birthright citizenship, or what's the basis for? Some they did ask, some they didn't. So he's like signing historic things.
And he's riffing and having conversations.
As if it's like they're having like a McDonald's burger. It was just like bizarre to me.
It was like he was conducting his own edition of what's on the cut sheet for an hour.
Yes.
We're just not used to seeing that.
Yeah, we're not.
What I mean?
So it's so different than the last 4 years of nothing.
Even Axelrod last night on CNN commented that he was like, he's like, wow, it's kind of refreshing to see a press conference.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because Biden went for so long without having any sort of press conference that the media kind of doesn't know what to do. They're like, hell is this?
And Greg,
what are we doing?
Yeah.
Yes, Greg brings up I think that nobody could be prepared for that moment. And so that's where people can, I think Peter Ducey asked really interesting questions.
Yeah.
But then there were questions about where Trump starts talking about the tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
He starts going into the money back and forth and with the country. If I'm somebody who's on the other side, let's say I work in the communications office for Trump, I don't know if I'm thrilled with that.
No.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Because as a communications person, you want to kind of button up things.
Yep.
And you don't want him to let things out.
Yep.
And he is letting things out.
Just a few days ago, Mr. President, in reference to Joe Biden, does Donald Trump get any credit for it? And then Biden snaps back around. He's like, is that a joke?
Yes.
Are you serious? And then those days are over.
Yeah.
You're going to get too much now.
Yep. This is what Axelrod said yesterday.
I think also he said, gee, did Biden do this? I think he wanted to set a contrast
with Biden, you know, by going sort of having this rolling press conference. And
I mean, we rarely have seen something like that of a president just riffing from the.
Yeah. And it's and there's a reason for it, because the words of a president can actually send armies marching and markets tumbling and have real consequences. I think, look, I actually think it's refreshing for presidents to be. I mean, I was among those who was critical of the lack of exposure of President Biden. And I think it's good for presidents to be exposed. It's better if they tell the truth when they're doing it. And as Daniel just said, a lot of that wasn't there. But we ought to focus on the sort of headline issue here. There are a lot of consequential things he did. But that ceremony today was in the rotunda of the U.S. Capitol. Everybody here remembers what happened there 4 years ago.
There you go.
So, all right, he said that's Axelrod, that's, you know, the old right-hand man of Barack Obama. Let's see if they actually apply what he just said of focusing on what he does, as opposed to, in Axelrod's words, the headlines, which is what the media always loves to run on because they want to talk about what Trump says.
Yeah, so I know that the media this morning, I'm trying to look at the overall, the J6, as he called them, the hostages, that's definitely dominating the so-called mainstream media as far as J6ers, but not really quoting Trump in that one as to him saying all of the evidence was destroyed or key evidence was destroyed, thus denying them due process. But J6 and locally Zachary Real is the notable one. And the media, I will say, bias by omission, not mentioning that Zach Real, his service as a United States Marine, the fact that his wife locally and two daughters and baby daughter, they live here. They live in the Northeast.
Well, luckily the media doesn't need to, because you do every chance you get.
I do, because I try to make up for the... I mean, look, if you're going to talk about somebody local in the local media, why not just say they served in the United States Marines, a Temple grad? They would say it about anybody else. Why not say it in this context of this story? I'm just saying.
All right, we have to break.
All right. Let me do my sponsor really quick. On this frigid day where it's never going to feel like it's above 11 degrees today, although the high is 19. Sponsored by Meineke. When you step on your brakes, do you hear a squeal or a grinding noise? Don't wait. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. Their expert technicians are going to diagnose that problem. Find a location nearest you. Meineke.com. Thank you for sponsoring Kale and Company News Live.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. Coming up next, our first media hoax of Trump 2.0. But first, a word from our friends at the Piazza Auto Group. You know, the ones right behind me that sponsor our beautiful studios. We're talking about Honda today and the Honda Prologue specifically. Honda's first all-electric SUV with a range of almost 300 miles on a single charge and a fast charge time. You can cruise the roads worry-free. It has three charging options to choose from, including a portable charging kit for when you're on the go. You can lease the Prologue today for as low as $229 per month. Visit Piazza Honda in Philadelphia, Pottstown, Springfield, Reading, or Langhorne, or you can shop anytime online at PiazzaHonda.com and tell them that Nick Kale sent you.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
The most entertaining talk radio show in the country in morning drive, with a visual component. Some would say it's like a television show.
By the way, can I just give a plug real fast? If you want to see any of the pictures, there are a ton of pictures taken yesterday. If you want to see any of the pictures from the Newtown Athletic Club yesterday from our live broadcast, we were out there. The Dawn Show was out there. Dom was out there. Many of you were out there. The pictures are, most of them, all of them, I think, are up on our Facebook page, facebook.com/@1210WPHT. If you want to see that, make sure you like and subscribe to I don't know, what do you do with Facebook? Like it?
Sure. Yeah, like it.
Also, it's on our Instagram. So 1210WPHD on Instagram. So all the pictures are up there if you want to see them.
Yes, and if you want to watch me holding the Trumpinator while we talk, This is also available for you on YouTube. I'll just put this little guy right over there. So it'd be like my little paperweight moving forward.
He's going to comment on the cut sheet.
Exactly right. So let's talk about the first media hoax of the second Trump term, which is Elon Musk yesterday at Inauguration Day giving Elon Musk's speech, right? And it was, I thought, a relatively good, when Elon gets excited and he smiles a little bit and he has a little energy, he is, I would say, from a presentation standpoint, he is tolerable. When he's like on the Joe Rogan podcast, I would like to put a rifle to my head because it's painful to listen to that guy talk. But when he gets excited, I can tolerate him as far as an audio video consumption standpoint. But what I have no tolerance for is the media hoaxes. And the Democrats and the media have not learned. They ran on Trump as Hitler. And which, by the way, think about this. Not only did America reject that, but in the final hours of the Biden administration, Israeli hostages released, in which a lot of people believe that Donald Trump had a lot to do with that. So would Hitler really have Jewish hostages released? The answer is no, he would kill them. So then we get to Elon Musk, and I want to play two clips for you. CNN started this, and then Politico ran with it. And I was scanning the websites yesterday of all the usual suspects, newspaper, television, digital, and I just wanted to see how many were going with it. Politico was the first to follow up and take the bait on the CNN commentary. Phil, this is clip K10, where CNN comments in real time to Elon Musk what they say using a Nazi gesture. Clip K10, let it roll.
I just want to look at that salute that he gave again, just if anybody missed it. We'll just show it again. He's just wrapped up here. You can hear the... All right, so we just showed that. We just showed that.
Right. It's worth salute. It was quick. I think our viewers are smart, and they can take a look at that. But it certainly was... It's not something that you typically see at American political rallies, put it that way.
No, it was not something that you usually would see. It was quick, as you point out. It was very quick, but it was... It was in a moment of intensity for him as he came out dancing, and then he did that. He is a hero here.
And I just want to say thank you.
Here's the, yeah, this is the real, there
thank
is.
You. My heart goes out to you. It is thanks to you that the future of civilization is assured.
Oh my God. Anybody who thinks... They are such dishonest a-holes.
Just grasping at straws or intentionally misleading the people. I mentioned in the big take, Jake Tapper. I played Jake Tapper. All the tech bros, right, Jake? All of the Amazons and the Googles and the Metas and the X's. All the CEOs lining up, right, for an era of disinformation. And your network, fresh off of you being found liable for defamation, are trying to put Elon Musk and Nazi salutes in the same category. Now, you talk about, and I don't know who that was to the right of Aaron Burnett. I don't know if that was Pamela Brown, the weekend anchor.
Isn't that Casey Hunt?
Is that, yes, Casey Hunt? Yes. Okay.
So Aaron, usually she's pretty, I mean...
Boring?
But, I mean, she's usually not... as much, I don't think, as some of the others. Mm-hmm. I don't think she's as political like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to know behind the scenes how that played out and did, because there's a culture we know at CNN. And so in my humble opinion, and we saw with Collins, like Caitlin Collins, yeah, they get in their ear and they're like, look at that. We need to replay that. We need to focus on that. No, you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Let, you know, and I liked that she said,
you're blaming a producer, Dawn?
No. I'm simply saying I would never blame you, Greg.
Good.
I take accountability for my stupidity when I do it. But I'm just saying I can't even believe that they would do that. Because if you're watching it live, you know, you can say, yeah, you know, there's no reaction to it.
Yeah.
So they're pointing something out that's, does that warrant it? So how does that play out behind the scenes? That's my question.
So Casey Hunt says this is something you don't see at American political events. Well, actually, you do. And Democrats have done that maneuver countless times. Phil, can we throw up the four-piece montage here? There's Hillary. There's Obama, there's Kamala, and there's Pocahontas.
Yeah, none of them were giving the Nazi salute either.
No, none of them. None of them at all. I mean, they're...
That was the biggest... I saw that, and I was just like, they just don't learn.
Yes. Can we actually play Phil? I know you gave a little bit of Elon in further context, but I believe Politico, K11, this is about a 30, 35-second clip where you will get the full context of all of his gestures.
We can't do that, Nick. We can't give full context here.
Context be damned.
But that's what I'm saying.
No ordinary victory. This was a fork in the road of human civilization. Okay. This... You know, there are elections that the elections they come and go. Some elections are, you know, important. Some are not. But this one, this one really mattered. And I just want to say thank you for making it happen. Thank you.
Okay, there's the hand and then the arm out with the chest goes to the back.
My heart goes out.
My heart goes out. And of course. Social media critics immediately compared the gesture to the victory salute that the Nazis used in Germany.
But when he says, my heart, if you're not watching on YouTube, when he's saying, my heart goes out to you, it's like he's putting his hand on his heart.
Yep.
And then he's as if he's taking his, and I do this with my kids, like I do a heart shine, right? So he's taking his heart and then he's extending his arm as if, like almost in mass when they you know extend and they're doing you know the sprinkling you with holy water as if he's like extending his arm from his heart out to you
and
so in the context that you're saying he's saying my heart is with you and he's like you know it's like my heart he can't say it any more strongly and he does that a couple times as if he turns then like to the flag and he's extending his heart to the love of country, his heart to the people.
Yep.
I'm trying to just describe it if you're not seeing it or if you haven't seen it.
And not to mention, and I think, Dawn, you have said this in the past and others have kind of, you know, implied or probably pretty close to accurate, or maybe it even is published fact. He's kind of right on the spectrum, right?
Oh, absolutely. No, that's common. That's something that that his family, his mom has spoken about, why she came from South America to this country, etc., was because he was, I think it was Asperger's that he had been diagnosed with.
That's what
so on the spectrum.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yes, is he socially, like a lot of like brilliant minds, you know, and quite frankly, boys tend to be more on the spectrum, if you will, than girls. That's just a fact. So yeah, he's a little spectrumy, as my one son says, a little bit of the tism. And so that a little socially different, if you will.
Right.
But I just think I don't know why I should set myself up to be disappointed, but I am disappointed by Erin Burnett. I wish she's usually smart and pretty good live. I wish she would have said, you know, let's listen to the sound. Let's play this in context. I wish she would have done that. And you know what would have behooved her to do that.
You know what would have been more interesting if like there was any sort of disagreement where one of them could have said, hey, was that a Nazi salute? No, that was just he was just doing the heart. You know what I mean? Like have real dialogue like we do here. You know what I mean? Like where we don't always agree on everything and you know, we have a spirited conversation. Yeah. But it's just two puppeted robots, dummies that sit there. Yes, that must have been a Nazi salute. Yes, it was. Well, oh my God, I can't believe it.
Precise example, 6:07 this morning. You guys were anointing Barron Trump the future leader of the world, and I said he's kind of a James Bond stiff.
I said he's going to be the shining star of the Trump administration in 25.
I just want to know if he can hit a 7-iron. That's all I care about. But, I mean, think about this. We had them running on Hitler. We had dictator on day one, which, by the way, was Trump a dictator yesterday? I don't know if that ever came to fruition. Threat to democracy. I've got all these different hoaxes written down. Very fine people of Charlottesville. Bloodbath with the auto market, not on the streets. Biden is sharp as a tack. The Russia hoax. The Steele dossier. UC Smollett. Drinking bleach for COVID. Hunter's laptop is disinformation. Ivermectin, peaceful protests, Duke volleyball, kids in cages, the Covington kids, whipping migrants at the border with agents. Or anything else?
Nick, you really did your research, didn't you? Man. By the way, you asked if he was actually a dictator on day one.
Yes.
This presidential historian on CNN says, in fact, he made good on his promise that he was a dictator on day one. Phil, can you roll cut 12 here?
No, Natalia, you were pointing out in history, the record for executive orders on the first day is what?
But nine.
By?
Biden. And
that seemed like a lot.
Well, and Trump himself didn't have many executive orders the first time around on January 20th. So he has decided to make good on his promise to be a dictator on day one. Remember that promise? That's what he's made good. I just want to make a point.
There you go.
There you go. There's one guy more boring on TV on CNN than Anderson Cooper. They found him. It was that historian. Not that historians are ever entertaining. Just to put a bow on this, though, I saw this poll from K-File, which is CNN's kind of deep dive analytics that goes beyond my buddy Harry Enten. And the CNN poll has shown that the Democrat Party, how they are viewed by Americans today, only 33% approval rating. It is the lowest perceived perception for the Democrat Party since 1992. And I wonder why that is. Is it perhaps because every time you see something you don't like, you just automatically want to pull out all the rhetoric and go as far divisive as Hitler and Nazi salutes? But then again, I don't know. Look, I don't think they've learned, and I'm fine with that. Keep doing it.
They clearly haven't learned. It's day one,
seriously.
And they're already running with it.
You're 11 weeks removed from the election, and nothing has changed for you, and that's fine by me.
Look, you know, I have to be consistent, and that's, you know, one of my biggest things is that, I was all over the right when they were all over Barack Obama for every little thing. Like, oh, you wore a tan suit and this, that, and the other. People need to stop with the everything is hair on fire day one. And if you're going to do this, if the media is going to run with this, the tune out factor is going to be larger than you ever would have imagined.
Oh, yes.
Because people are just tired of it. They're just tired of it. The people voted for this. They want to see it. Like, let's see how this plays out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from day one, now 6 hours into his administration, like, well, Elon Musk did a Nazi salute. It's like, what?
Yeah. CNN, just so you know, you are so out of touch that you're making ESPN look relatively modest and moderate to the point where Trump is so popular now that ESPN during halftime, the halftime show of their college football national championship game last night, they played a message from Donald Trump.
It's amazing.
When normally they wouldn't even show the guy on camera in a suite.
It's amazing. It's amazing.
855-839-1210. The cut sheet is coming up next here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Our gal Esty Palti from New York will join us. The greatest Kamala Harris impression that you will ever hear or see. I mean, she actually has... It's so scary because we talk about Sean Farish doing Trump with the mannerisms and the way the face contorts. She does Kamala's facials just as well as Trump. Farish does Trump's.
Yep.
Unbelievable. So we'll have some laughs one last time with her. Coming up at 9:30, but right now, let's get right to it. 7:51. What is on that cut sheet?
What's on the cut sheet?
So last night... What's on the cut sheet on this Tuesday? Sorry, I forgot my...
You almost forgot your lead-in.
I forgot my bit there. Last night at the 8 o'clock hour, I think right at 8 o'clock, Trump was at the desk, the Oval Office desk, signing... The Resolute desk in the old Oval Office. Thank you, Don. Always there to correct me. I really appreciate that.
You were there.
I was. That's why I said I appreciate that. Unlike husbands that don't always like it when their wives correct them, I actually like it when you correct me. Not that we're
glad
married.
You like it.
But yeah.
I tell my wife, just roll with it.
He's like Bluto. Don't stop him, he's rolling. So he took a bunch of questions yesterday. Let's start off. We played this earlier. Let's start. So he talks about pardoning over 1,500 January Sixers. This is cut 25, Phil, if you want to roll it.
So this is January 6th. These are the hostages. Approximately 1,500 for a pardon.
Yes.
Full pardon.
Full pardon or commutations?
Full pardon. We have about six commutations in there where we're doing further research. Okay. Nice to see you again.
Signs it.
So this is a big one. Anything you want to explain about this? We hope they get them. We hope they come out tonight, frankly. They're expecting it. Approximately 1,500 people. Six commutations.
I actually saw two different things last night. Don't know how factually correct they are, because again, it's on social media. But one person that was involved as a quote J6 defendant, I believe a female, tweeted that she was pardoned, and then she said, you know, thanks Trump, thank God, it's been hell for, you know, however many, you know, months and months and months, years and years, obviously, that she's had to deal with it. And then I saw a video, and this is the one I cannot confirm the authenticity of, but I believe it was a man that was crying on social media.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Again, don't know his name, don't know, you know, again, who knows what's real, what's not, but I can't imagine, for those that really did nothing wrong, especially right off the top, not committing any sort of violent act, and then those that were denied due process, that has got to be, like, the greatest Christmas gift that you will ever have in your lifetime.
Yeah, agreed. You know, look, I said this earlier, I'm going to say it again. This is what January 6th was on the ballot,
mm-hmm.
in a big way,
yeah,
in 24. And the American people voted against it.
Mm-hmm.
So and Trump said he was going to do it. So, you know, to all my liberal friends out there who are shocked and appalled by all this, like, this is what the American people voted for, and he's doing what he said he was going to do. And the American people don't care about this.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
You know, the end. Mm-hmm. But I think Road Warrior, somebody on the YouTube chat said this earlier, so I did a little digging. I found this video. There's a in D.C., All but two, J6 defendants are still locked up. And some Trump supporters were outside and asking the police department, you know, the officers there, why. And they're saying that nobody else will be freed from the facility. This is a little bit of that audio, Phil Rowland.
I'm giving you literally all I got. But no more are going to be released tonight, okay? And tomorrow is a brand new day. We'll see what tomorrow brings, okay? I'll probably be here with you. Okay?
It's a violation.
No, I was told no more tonight.
No more tonight.
No more tonight, okay?
We trust you.
And tomorrow, I don't know.
Okay?
And that's the best I got for you.
Can you tell us the condition of the prisoners?
Nope. I'm sure they're fine.
We just worry that you release them after we left.
No. The commander has assured me no more being released tonight.
Oh, good.
Okay.
You worry about the cold. We didn't come out of there.
I understand. I very much understand.
Okay. Tell your boss. You should leave the area.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, don't razz and harass that guy. What is he? He's a random officer out on the street. He knows very little.
But I think they were, the one lady said, "I believe you." So mm-hmm. I don't know.
I'd be like, "Ma'am, you see, I've got my hands here inside of my vest, around my breasts. I mean, it's freezing cold out here. I'm sure they'll all come out tomorrow. Why don't we just go home and get a hot chocolate? You know, jeez."
So there you go. I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if there was some sort of a timeline that they, I mean,
Because they have to process.
Yeah. Processing.
Yeah, it's not like they just open up the cells and say, go ahead, you're free to go. Run, hurry.
You know? But if you knew it was coming, this is my, because the mother of Enrique Tarrio, the leader of the Proud Boys, his mother tweeted out, my son is being released, before, I think, Trump even signed the executive order.
Oh.
So there must have been word that it was coming down.
A little leak, yeah. Little yeah. Inside information.
Because to Don's point, you can't just, like, they need to be processed.
Yeah, it's about 1,500 individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So imagine the paperwork, the processing.
No.
So I don't know what the timeline looks like, but I imagine, to your point,
yeah.
that they had to start processing. I don't know what would that look like the mm-hmm. day before, 2 days before. I mean, they knew that it was coming.
Somebody, a reporter, also asked about the drones in New Jersey. Remember Ooh. Those?
Yeah, this I'm very intrigued by.
This is cut 24, Phil.
But is it anything these drones? Is it anything that people need to be worried about?
No, I think it's terrible. I would like to find out what it is and tell the people.
And can you commit to some kind of...
In fact, I'd like to do that. Could we find out what that was, Susie?
Susie
Wiles.
Okay.
Susie, get on this.
Yeah.
Susie?
Why don't we find out immediately?
Immediately.
But you heard Peter Ducey led this.
Yeah.
You know, people would have gotten blown up all over. Maybe they were testing things. I don't know why they wouldn't have said what it was. They had a lot of them flying over Bedminster, which is interesting.
And with the events today...
All right, there you go.
So, you know... I think there was part of me initially, the first time Trump was asked to comment on this publicly, that said he has to know. Somebody's probably told him. But when the drones are flying over Bedminster, which obviously is his property, golf, the whole bit, which thank you to Alex, I'm going to be playing Bedminster. Alex came out yesterday, a friend of our buddy Kevin Poles, and is going to get us on Bedminster to play, which is going to be glorious. But if he doesn't know after they were flying over his beloved property, I'm going to take him at his word here.
He knows.
You think so?
Yeah.
Do we know? We never really came to the conclusion as a show what we thought was going on. Because remember, we broke for the holiday, and it was a story, and we came back, and it was pushed to the back burner.
Yeah.
Nobody. And by the way, for those that are listening, if you're still seeing anything, I mean, I would love some sort of phone video evidence, or, you know, a phone call or a tweet. I mean, I haven't heard a word. I haven't heard a peep.
Yep.
You could search drones right now on Twitter. I bet you're not going to see a recently published video. Of course, somebody will find one and then totally dunk on me for saying that. But
well, I mean, if Susan Wiles is on it, then you know she's good. So we'll see. Speaking of Peter Ducey, Don mentioned Peter Ducey. Apparently, this is cut 41, Phil. Trump thanked Peter Ducey because he told them, "Hey, you might want to check the top drawer there because Joe Biden left you a letter."
Yeah, this was
President Trump. Did President Biden leave you a letter?
He may have. Wait. Don't they leave it in a desk? I don't know. Oh.
What's in there?
Thank you, Peter. It could have been years before we got it. Wow. Thank you.
Can you read that on the outside?
Maybe we should all read it together.
Let's read it.
Well, maybe I'll read it first and then make that determination.
That sounds great.
Peter, thank you very much. I may not have seen this for months.
Happy to help.
Since 47 on the envelope.
Passing him the torch.
I did. I left him one in the desk beside us.
What are you talking about at the moment?
Unification of our country. You know, I didn't know that he gave a pardon to his family because he did it during my speech.
He didn't tell you in the limo?
No, he didn't tell me. No. He did it. They released it during my speech. I mean, during my speech. So all I could do was say, excuse me, I'd like to come back and speak some more. So, no, we were surprised by that. It's bad precedent, obviously.
Do you think you should have read it?
Yes.
Out loud.
1,000%. 1,000%.
Yeah.
I'm going to venture to guess that it said something like, I really didn't mean the Hitler stuff. Sorry people took it legitimately and shot at you. Still think I would have defeated you had Cacklebox not been inserted.
Cacklebox.
With regards, Joseph Biden. That's probably what it said, if I had to guess. But that's just, you know, me spitballing here on the cut sheet.
He was asked about the ceasefire in Gaza, in the Middle East. This is cut 40. Roll it.
Declare you, Mr. President, that you can keep the ceasefire in Gaza and conclude the three phases of the deal.
I'm not confident. That's not our war, it's their war, but apologize. I'm not confident, but I think they're very weakened on the other side.
Do you support the two-state?
Gaza, boy, I looked at a picture of Gaza. Gaza is like a massive demolition site. That place is, it's really got to be rebuilt in a different way.
Do you plan to help rebuilding Gaza?
I might. You know, Gaza's interesting. It's a phenomenal location. On the sea, best weather. You know, everything's good.
Like, I build a golf course there.
Yeah.
Some beautiful things could be done with it. But
Trump Gaza.
It's very interesting. But some fantastic things could be done with Gaza.
How do you see the future in governance for Gaza?
Well, it depends. I can't imagine. You could have, well, you certainly can't have the people that were there. Most of them are dead.
Can I just tell you how refreshing it is to hear somebody in political office say it's their war, it's not ours?
Yep.
As somebody that is sick of wars and the endless war machine and the military-industrial complex, whether it's today's Democrat Party or the Lindsey Graham Republicans, the old Bush war hawks, all of that, so refreshing to hear that. And oh, by the way, I believe I saw this. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Trump temporarily suspended all foreign aid for 90 days. I believe that was something that came down last night. If, in fact, I saw that correct and that's true, I hope what he will come out and say today is I actually misspoke, or maybe my Sharpie ran out of ink. I meant 900 days, as in no money for anybody else but America for the next 4 years.
Well, what he's saying is, pending reviews. So he, and that's when, and he talks about this at the Resolute desk. He says that he has this, he says we get a raw deal as Americans, that all these countries make money off of us. We give all of this money out. We have bad trade deals with most countries except a few. And he even says, I'm not going to name the ones who don't get a profit, because he says something to the effect of they'll feel stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to name them. But he wants to review all of this and give us, obviously, negotiate a better deal.
On TikTok, he was asked about TikTok. This is cut 29. Phil?
Phil. So on the same side, President Trump, you and your members of your team now used to warn about the dangers of TikTok spying on Americans. What changed that you're not worried about that anymore?
Well, it depends on the deal. I mean, I may not do the deal, or I may do the deal. TikTok is worthless. Worthless. If I don't approve it, it has to close. I learned that from the people that own it. If I don't do the deal, it's worthless. Worth nothing. If I do the deal, it's worth maybe $1 trillion. A trillion. So if I do the deal for the... I'm talking about doing it for the United States. If I do the deal for the United States, then I think we should get half. In other words, wait, I think the U.S. should be entitled to get half of TikTok and congratulate.
What do you guys think about
that? I want more than half. If it's going to be...
they're a private company, guys.
Well...
We can't just... like,
yeah, but here, you
the government can't just come in and say, we now own half of your private company.
This is fascinating, because what he's saying is the law... That it has been passed, that he gave an extension on, that the law is what this is all about the negotiation. Listen to what he says in this clip. What he's saying is, if they decide that, if he says kibosh, we're doing a ban, then TikTok becomes worthless.
Well, yes, because 170 million Americans use it. And if those 170 million aren't on there, that thing just goes to, you know, pennies.
So what he's saying, Greg, is negotiation power. That's all that he cares about. Because
but
think about how
50% control of TikTok. The government can't just come in and say we now own 50% of your privately owned company.
I don't think he's saying the government, or that it's, in other words,
the American people.
What he says
government
is
would buy it.
What he's saying is that they're working out a deal. Listen to me. listen to what he says. Can you play the clip? Because what he's saying is an American company. They want to work out a hybrid deal. The deal is that China is gathering our information. The deal is they want to keep the server on U.S. soil and have like a co-owner with the Americans controlling the information gathering. Because they're all gathering. We know this. We learned this in those training sessions with DuckDuckGo. They're all gathering and storing.
Sure, but
the difference with like DuckDuckGo is they don't store it.
The pressing issue, though, is why China was totally content with it going dark and not willing to sell it. For what it's worth, and I just did a quick search. It says, and I used,
which they called a stunt, by the way.
Okay. I used Google, by the way, but I mean, this could be right, it could be wrong. According to recent data, TikTok has approximately 1.5 billion users worldwide. So I'm actually going to push back on Trump. Trump's saying that if I save TikTok, it's worth a trillion, and if I don't, it's worth nothing. Well, if you have 170 million Americans using an app, and there's a total of 1.5 billion people globally using it, America is actually like 10% or less. So it's not going to go to crap. I actually disagree with Trump there.
I mean, what he's saying is if he kills it, it's dead. If they ban it, it's banned.
Yes.
So then it's worthless in this. Well, it's worthless. This, well, they lose all that money.
In this country. But it's still going to have 90% of its users globally.
It doesn't matter. We're the ones. We're the gluttons. We're the ones. You know what I mean? We're the gluttons in this country, like in the world.
Okay.
We eat more than anybody. We consume more than anybody.
True.
Right?
And we all have mental health because it's a suck. But so, all right, before we play this clip, though. So keep in mind with the context of buying it, and Greg, you're saying it's not possible, not allowed, not legal. TikTok is owned by the Chinese company ByteDance. So they would have to, unless I'm wrong here, they would have to sell it to somebody, right?
Right.
Trump just can't say we're seizing it.
If you're China and you're ByteDance and you want this app to be used in the United States of America, then you might say, hey, yeah, okay, we'll give up whatever percentage ownership of this just to make sure, to Dawn's point, because we consume it more than anybody else, that this app is used in our country.
So we're actually asking the questions that those journalists should be asking
yes,
in front of him.
So yes, from that aspect, from that negotiating aspect, I do agree that we have the power in this because China wants that. ByteDance wants our users.
Yeah.
They need our users.
Yes.
So they'll do something in order to make sure that we don't go dark in 90 days or whatever.
Okay, so let's play this and roll this back and then continue.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, roll, Phil.
Go ahead, Phil. Go ahead, Philip.
Now, used to warn about the dangers of TikTok spying on Americans. What changed that you're not worried about that anymore?
Well, it depends on the deal. I mean, I may not do the deal or I may do the deal. TikTok is worthless if I don't approve it. It has to close. I learned that from the people that own it. If I don't do the deal, it's worthless, worth nothing. If I do the deal, it's worth maybe $1 trillion, a trillion. So if I do the deal I'm talking about doing it for the United States. If I do the deal for the United States, then I think we should get half. I think the U.S. should be entitled to get half of TikTok. And congratulations, TikTok has a good partner. And that would be worth, could be $500 billion or something. It's crazy. The numbers are crazy. But it's worthless if the president doesn't sign, then it's worthless. If the president does sign, it's worth maybe $1 trillion. So I think, like a joint venture, I think we would have a joint venture with the people from TikTok. We'll see what happens. I mean, that's one of many.
We would have a joint venture.
So, but I think he's saying American business. I don't think he's saying the United States government would control TikTok. That's what I infer from it, because to Greg's point, that would be historic. We've never seen that before. I only learned this from my teenage sons last night, that Americans are turning to another Chinese app, which is known as Red Note.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
And so it would pose the same issue, that this may now go to court.
We are the dumbest people.
I know.
Yeah. We are the dumbest people.
Yeah. Well, forget what it's worth, what we're paying for it, whose value goes up or down. All I care about is the security of Americans. I'll answer it a different way this time around after playing that clip a second time. I don't want 50%. I want 100% from the standpoint of ensuring that Americans' information or data is preserved. And you can say, well, we already give it out. Okay, but we're talking specifically here about TikTok. We're not talking about Apple Pay. We're not talking about Venmo. We're not talking about other platforms. We are talking specifically about TikTok. And if you can assure us via transparency, because again, you know, we can slam the Biden administration for corruption with social media all we want and believe that Kash Patel and all of these people are going to do right by us. But I want to know for sure that our information is protected, because I don't trust any of these federal agencies, no matter who's in charge.
Our information is not protected, no matter what what they say. It is not protected. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm not even talking about that, because I don't think it should have been banned in the first place.
Same here.
But, you know, if we're going to go down this road, look, I'm all for a United States company coming in and saying, hey, we have the negotiating power here, because if you want this app used in our country, then, you know, we need half or whatever they negotiate. But the government can't swoop in and say, this is, you know, we now own half of this. Can you play a little more of this? Because I want to hear more of the...
Oh, there's more.
The explanation, yeah.
The CEO punched down. Did he say that he's open to that idea?
Who?
The CEO of TikTok is around.
I think he'd probably like it. Because he's got nothing. I mean, they really have nothing. It's passed in Congress. It gives the president a right to make a deal or to close it. And we have 90 days to make that decision. But I could see making a deal where the U.S. gets 50% of TikTok,
polices it
a little bit or a lot. Depends on them. But remember, they make telephones in China. They make all sorts of things in China. Nobody ever complains about that. Here they're complaining about this. So many different products made in China. Nobody ever complained about it. The only one they complain about is TikTok.
Agreed.
And TikTok is largely young people. I guess I have a warm spot for TikTok that I didn't have originally. But you know, I went on TikTok, and I won young people up by 36%, Peter. And Republicans typically don't do too well with young people. But it's a different Republican Party.
Would the U.S. government buy a portion of TikTok then? Or how would it get that 50%?
No, you'd take 50% of TikTok for the approval that TikTok could continue in business. And they'd have a great partner. The U.S. would be their partner.
The U.S.?
But the U.S. essentially would be paid for doing that half of the value of TikTok.
Would there be a private sector owner as
could
well
be,
in the U.S.?
Could be a lot. Tell you what, every rich person has called me about TikTok.
You wanted to block TikTok. Why did you change your mind?
Because I got to use it. And remember, TikTok is largely about kids, young kids. If China's going to get information about young kids, I don't know. I think we have bigger problems than that.
Yeah.
But you know, when you take a look at telephones that are made in China and all the other things that are made in China, military equipment made in China, TikTok is not their biggest problem. But there's big value in TikTok if it gets approved. If it doesn't get approved, there's no value. So if we create that value, why aren't we entitled to like half?
I mean, again, it's not really about TikTok. It's about the slippery slope this creates with, you know, tech platforms and free speech and government being involved in it. But I would say this, too, because I got tweets and a couple of texts yesterday. And we gave you the story that I think it was BBC reported, Elon Musk was interested in buying TikTok. And then another outlet came out and said there's no truth to that. But if TikTok is worth as much as what the internet says it's worth, or whoever speaks says it's worth, remember this. Elon Musk purchased Twitter for $22 billion. TikTok is worth far more. People have texted me, well, why doesn't Trump buy it himself? Trump can't afford to buy TikTok.
It would also be a weird, because he's the president.
Yeah.
So that would be the U.S. government.
Trump's rich, but he's poor compared to Bezos and Musk.
If Zuckerberg or Musk or any of these, you know, privately owned business, you know, if they want to buy it, great. But if we're talking the U.S. government, then I have a huge issue with that.
I agree with what you're saying. I fully inferred, because he talked about we have a lot of bidders. And BIDDERS, right. Not bitter. Like
in your drink.
Yes.
Sorry.
So it always goes back to alcohol with you, brother.
Just coffee in here.
Yeah.
Swear to God.
Okay, sure.
So I infer that he's talking about making sure that, and that's the issue we've talked about. Remember Stacey Garrity, the treasurer here in Pennsylvania. Remember that? That was like, was that like a year and a half ago?
Yeah,
Stacey
like
Garrity.
That.
Remember the treasurer here said, "Hey, TikTok is not allowed to be on any devices, computers for Pennsylvania. You know, anybody in the Treasury Department because of the national security risk." So that's why I'm inferring that what they're talking about is that whole issue of the any information that they do want to gather and store cannot leave this country. And that's the argument, that they're still going to gather it. And then I guess the negotiation would include can they keep it here on servers like a lot of, like Google does. Google does this.
Right.
So they gather the stuff about us, and then they store it somewhere in a server, but it's on U.S. soil. But then my other question is TikTok. We learned in all those hearings, remember that? That the FBI and others were saying, and their probes showed that TikTok actually has the, they can look into your texts, into the content of your emails, very health information. I mean, you name it, banking, health, anything, the affair you're having, the plot that you're plotting, whatever that is, that TikTok not only can see it, but they've retrieved it and they're storing it in on foreign soil.
And that's illegal, correct?
Or well, that's what they deemed as, quote, illegal. So I have a lot of questions. I inferred yesterday from all of that Trump was saying, and I wish the reporters, quite frankly, had done a better job of nailing him down with that. I thought that he was saying that a U.S. company would kind of co-own it and at the very least keep the information they gather on our soil. I would wish that they do the DuckDuckGo way, which is that they make it illegal for anybody to store your information.
Well, that was going to be my next question, and I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm thinking back to the Patriot Act after 9/11 and, you know, the tightening of the noose, so to speak, on our freedoms and our liberties.
Yeah.
Right. And then in the smartphone world we live in, and the fact that, by the way, when we buy our phone and we get our service from whatever service provider and we download apps, we don't ever read the fine print. We just click agree, or I've read and acknowledged, and I do the digital signature. That's why I was asking if it's legal or illegal, because there might be some fine print in there that we just totally gloss over, that we basically consented to having them be able to go into our phone and read things beyond what they're in there supposedly to do, right?
Clearly, I think that's what we all do. We've unknowingly like agreed to the fact they can go in there and take our information. I did not know. Here's what I don't know. Is Google able to, do they have your content of all of your emails? And then can you prevent that? Because you probably can.
Right.
But I actually think they do.
Deb says on Twitter, do people really believe that not a single American can create an app similar or even better than TikTok? It's a good point. We've got a lot of smart people out there in this country. Why don't we create one here? I don't know. Call it TikTok Trump for all I care. 855-839-1210.
He would love that, Nick.
Yeah, he would. Mark is in Philadelphia. He's got thoughts on this. Mark, you go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Mark.
And ladies. Hey, so before I get... Kennedy brought my vote over. I voted for Biden for last time. I voted for Trump this time.
Okay.
Hoping at least we can get the food straightened out. I'm not expecting anything else from this administration.
Amen.
I love Kennedy.
Okay.
So first thing, if I get a couple minutes, first thing is with this Trump, if you notice when he's talking about buying TikTok, he's like, oh, of course we're the United States. We all know he's not buying it for the United States. He has his kid Kushner. He has Mr. Beast. I don't know if you guys know Mr. Beast. He's like this huge, like, he's even talking about buying it. Just let him buy it. Like, all these, like, influencers, they could purchase it.
Yep.
And also my second point, when Trump was talking about Gaza, I said this from the beginning. I hope you guys don't hate me for saying it, but Netanyahu sacrificed his people for this Gaza to be blown up the way it is. If you notice Trump saying, oh, it's going to be different. Of course it's going to be different, because it was the plan from the beginning. like, you know, like Gaza's not nice right now. Of course they're going to make it look like Las Vegas. It's like they're in with the Saudis. It's a shame. I hope it's all well works out, but at least Kennedy, hopefully for the food.
All right.
Thanks for the time.
Mark in Philadelphia. Yeah, I mean, just on the TikTok thing. Again, Dawn, you might have said this when the world's most wealthiest people list was released recently. What was Trump? He was like 568th or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, in theory, you know, with a loan and credit and, you know, what cash he has, yeah, I guess it's possible. But just if
no, Trump, you think that maybe Trump would buy it?
People have been recommending and saying, well, why doesn't Trump just buy it?
He couldn't. He couldn't even manage it. When you're president, you have to turn everything over to that blind trust.
Yeah. But also the price of it. And again, I don't really care what it's worth. I don't use it. But if Elon paid $22 billion for Twitter 3 years ago, I can't imagine what TikTok would go for.
He just said $500
billion. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I just think that, I don't know. I'm with Greg, though. I'm not comfortable with any, I don't know why we're comfortable with any government running.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Running anything.
I don't want the government running like anything, social, to be honest with you.
Now, by the way, China denies, the Chinese Communist Party, they claim that their story, just so we have it, is that they claim, no, ByteDance owns this, we don't have control, the Chinese, that's what they claim.
Yeah, sure.
But aren't we, so that's why I just think, wow, that's really the antithesis of what we stand for as a capitalist. We are capitalists. To take ownership of a social media company, government-run social media, that's a little Erdogan-y, mm-hmm. you know, like Turkey. So I'm not comfortable with that either.
It's interesting because, you know, we've seen Supreme Court cases, and, you know, we talk about all these different internet cases that are out there. I mean, we're in this social media era where a total gut feeling, mm-hmm. those nine justices, they don't want things like this to reach, you know, their level of the courts, because the precedent that they would set moving forward mm-hmm. on government involvement, what is free speech, because we know that the government can't restrict speech, but, you know, whether you like it or not, Facebook or TikTok, they were legally allowed to ban you as a company. You were not entitled to free speech. But where it became a very dicey issue was when the government, at the behest of the Biden administration, is yelling and pressuring at Facebook to take it down. That's where you can argue, and I believe successfully, that your free speech rights were violated. But, you know, if Jack Dorsey was just like, I don't like this guy, man, that's his business. And, you know, you can hate it, but, you know, the rules are the rules.
You want to take this call?
Oh, we have another one. Yes, on the TikTok front, Vince in Morristown. Hello, Vince.
Hey, guys. You know, things are evolving in this business world with, you know, this type of technology. And I don't think Trump is as nuts as he sounds with regarding the $500 billion. The U.S. can indeed get $500 billion in our pocket. We don't necessarily need to keep TikTok. You then immediately flip it to a group of U.S. investors for potentially another $400 or $500 billion, and you get paid almost twice for this, and you're out of it.
Okay, I like that.
Okay, and then what? Will the citizens of this country be on the receiving end of the taxes involved in this that maybe the government can put back into our roadways, our infrastructure, our pockets?
Yeah.
And then the question becomes, how much, if this was a deal, right, the art of the deal, what would appease you if you knew the citizens were going to get a cut of this, at the flip side being, well, maybe free speech, well, maybe government interference in meddling in your personal information? It's kind of a balancing act, is it not, as a citizen?
It is, but the same thing is, all that can be hashed out. I think I just wanted to make the point, we don't need to be owners. We are, you know, intellectual property owners only for the purposes of creating unfound wealth for the United States. And if you want to, even if you flip it for $300 billion, people will be salivating at that number. You could rake in $800 billion and do a lot of things with that. Make any safeguards necessary for the app itself, future apps going forward. I mean, let the people on our side of the fence, you could put armed guards at every school for the next 100 years. Yeah. I mean, there's a million things you could do with that money.
Yeah, that's a good point, Vince. I'll tell you what, right now, I would sign off on TikTok being purchased by the government if they just finished paving Route 202.
There is a price for you, isn't there?
As the Million Dollar Man once said, everybody's got a price.
Listen, I have a ton more. Can we continue on the other side of this?
Yes.
Because I'm making the case. I made this case at 6:02. Nick disagrees with Dawn and I. Barron Trump will be the shining star of the Trump campaign or the Trump presidency of 2025 for the next 4 years. And I have proof, and I will show. Ooh. I will unveil it next.
I've got no interest in Barron. 855-839-1210. You guys can have him, and you can tweet me your hate. Oh, Nick, he's 18. He's a college kid. Let him alone. We're back after this on Kale & Company.
My friends at Piazza Premium Automobiles featuring the latest luxury vehicles from today's top brands like Mercedes-Benz, Jaguar, Land Rover, BMW, Porsche, Alfa Romeo, Maserati, and more. These models have such sleek new designs and innovative features powered by the very latest in technology. Right now, Piazza has thousands of new and certified pre-owned vehicles available right now across Pennsylvania, Delaware, and New Jersey dealerships. Piazza Premium Automobiles stands out. Visit them, Piazza, PiazzaPremiumAutos.com. Tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale & Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.